Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Lamed. We are holding on daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis at the words Hoda B'Metaltali, about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. And the first thing we're going to discuss, we've been in the middle of discussing Odisa, that if a person is Moda, are you allowed to automatically write a shtar that he was Moda? So you're not allowed to do something that's Mechayiv him more than he was already Mechayiv himself. So we're going to discuss if you're allowed to rely on a shtar Hoda'a, where it's not exactly clear that it was written with the permission of the Moda. Or what if there's something else that's not exactly clear about the shtar? It's not exactly clear that it was done in front of a Beis Din, or it was done in front of a Kasher Beis. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a person is informed by other people, whether it's by Stam other people, whether it was by the father himself before he died, or whether it was by a Bal HaChalom, that certain money that the father left belongs to somebody else. So the Gemara is going to discuss, or it's Maisa Sheni, do you have to trust that? Or can you assume, no, it's money, so I'm allowed to keep the money. The Gemara is then going to have three different shitos, how to write up the decision of a Bezin. Let's say Bezin comes to a two-to-one vote, two vote l'zchus, one vote l'chayiv, or the other way around. How do you write that up? Do you say that the whole Bezin voted this way? Do you say that it was a two-to-one vote and identify who the Dayanim were? So we're going to have three different shitos exactly how to write it up, and we're going to have three different explanations as to what exactly they're arguing about, what the issue really is. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas, whether when the Mishnah says machnisin osan, at some point in the process of arriving at the Gemara Din, we say we bring them in. So who are we bringing in? Is it the Balei Din? Is it the Edim? What were they doing outside to begin with? So that's going to be a discussion as well. Then the majority of the daf, starting from the bottom of Laman Aman Aleph, going through the majority of Amud Beis, is going to be a discussion of two machlokos about Siruf Eidus. First, the machlokas whether the Eidim need to see the Eidus together, and second, the machlokas whether the Haggadas Eidus needs to happen together. Can you be Mekabel Dvar of Shalech Arayom, and then the second one, Lemachar? And the Gemara is going to try to figure out how we paskin, particularly in that first issue, whether they need to see the Eidus together. One guy says, I saw that Reuven was Moda to Shimon Yozim $100 on Monday. The other guy says, I saw he was Moda on Tuesday. Are we mitzarif those two aduyos? Does it make a difference if what they're being made about is not money, which could be different $100 bills that he's being molded to, different loans that he's being molded to, but karka, where it's clearly the same karka, you can't have different karka. Would that make a difference? The Gemara is going to be going to use that to springboard into a discussion about being mitzarif two aduyos about shtei sa'aros on a ben or a bas. How exactly can we be mitzarif two separate aduyos on something like that? And then at the very end, which we probably won't get to today, but at the very, very end of the daf, we're going to start discussing how do we handle when there's hakchash bibedikos. One of the things that Beis Din does is they ask a lot of questions that aren't really particularly relevant to the case. They ask questions that are sort of secondary type of questions. Oh, he lent the money? What color wallet was the money in when he took out the money? When he gave, what color bag was the money? What if there's hakchash bibedikos, both by dinim amanus and by Dine Nefasha? So let's begin about 12 lines before the end of the page. The last run line is Hoda on Daf Chav Tesam Beis. Says the Gemara, Hoda b'metaltali v'kanu miyado. If you saw that the guy was Moda about metaltalin. Now, as soon as you're Moda about metaltalin, you're just being Moda that you owe the person something, that you owe the person the value of that metaltalin. But the metaltalin itself is not yet in the Toveya's Rishus. You're just being Moda that you have to pay the value of that metaltalin. But in order to strengthen the Hodah, the guy did a Maisa Kinyan in front of Edim. He was Kona Miyado. So then Kosvin, that's enough. Once he did a Maisa Kinyan, you're allowed to write a Shtar Udisa by which the Toveya will be able to collect. Vim Lav Ein Kosvin. But if he doesn't do a Kinyan, it was just a Hoda'a, then it's Ein Kosvin, because you're doing more, you're being Mechayiv him more than he was Mechayiv himself. When he's Moda, he's just saying that in theory he owes this money, but the other party is not Muchzak in the money. But once you write a Shtar Odisa, it's Ki'ilu, the other party becomes Muchzak in the money. So that you're not allowed to do. V'mekarka'i v'lo kanu miyado mai. What if you saw the guy was Moda about Karka, and he never made a Maisa Kinyan, but it was Karka? So it could be that by Karka, as soon as I'm Moda that I owe you Karka, so the Tovea already owns the Karka, because the Karka is not going to be lifted and been given. It's not going to move anyway. So when, as soon as I'm Oda, it's already in your possession. So by writing the Shtar Odisa, I'm not really changing the possession of the karka. It's already there. So what's the halacha? Meimar Amar Ein Kosvin, Marzutra Amar Kosvin. It's Machlokas Amarayim. Vihilchasa Kosvin. The halacha is you're allowed to write an Odisa on karka, even though there was never a kinyan. Ravina ikla l'damaharya. Ravina went to a place called Damaharya. Amalei Rav Dimi bar Rav Huna mi Damaharya l'Ravina. So Rav Dimi bar Rav Huna from Damaharya said to Ravina, metadli v'isnu be'enayu mai. So I understand that by karka, you're not going to require a kinyan, and you can right away write a shtar odisa, because that karka, wherever it is considered to be in the reshus of the Taveya. What about Metaltalin, where he's not just being Moda that he owes Metaltalin in theory, there's actual, the Metaltalin is Be'en, we see it, we know it exists still. See, when I'm Moda that I owe you an item, I owe you a chair, I owe you a shtender, so okay, so I'm going to owe you the value of a chair or a shtender. But when it's this chair and it's right here, so then it's not that I owe you the value of it, it's this one, and it's right here. So maybe the second I'm Moda, it's already considered that you are muchzak in it, that you have possession of it. And therefore, maybe we should be able to write a shtar odisa immediately. So I'm like, Kimikarkari Dami says, yeah, that's exactly like karka, and therefore you can write a shtar odisa right away. Ravashi Amar Kivin de Machasri Govaino, lo. Ravashi says, no, it's different than karka. Karka is already ki'ilu, it's collected, because there's nothing that has to happen to the karka for it to change hands. Whereas the metaltalin can be moved from one place to the other, so I still have to actually give it to you. Hayudis Dilava Kasuba. Let's say the language of the Shtar Odisa was not perfect, meaning in the Shtar Odisa you're supposed to write the legalese of the document is supposed to be Amar Lana Kisvu V'Chismu V'Avulei, that the fellow who is Moda gave us express permission to write a Shtar Odisa. Let's say they left that language out of the Shtar. Do we assume that it was an unauthorized Shtar Odisa and therefore it's invalid? Or do we assume, no, of course, they never would have written such a shtar had it not been for the fact that the fellow gave them permission and requested that they write such a shtar. So Abai Rav Damit Abayu Haina de Reish Lakish. She says, well, Abai Rav both say this is very similar to a din that Reish Lakish taught us. Damar Reish Lakish, Chazak Enedim Chosman al Shtar, Nam Kenasa Gadol. When a Yasom sells his Yerusha, so the halach is that only once he's at the age of 20 can he sell his Yerusha. Prior to that, we assume he doesn't have the full das, he doesn't understand the long-term ramifications of what he's doing, so he's only allowed to sell it at the age of 20. So if we have Edom that are signed on a shtar, we can assume that the Yasom was 20 already, because the Edom never would have signed on a shtar, that shtar never would have made it had it not been that he was 20 years old. Meaning, Reish Lakish says, granted in a totally different context, that when you have a shtar, you can assume it was done correctly. You can assume that all of the laws were followed. So too over here, if you have an Odisa, granted, it doesn't have the exact language that you're looking for in an Odisa, but you have an Odisa, you could assume that everything was done properly. What is that? You're just going to make an assumption that the Sofrim who are writing these shtaros know all of these details? They know all of these halachos, and that they better not write that shtar unless these people have expressed permission of the Nitva to write the shtar Odisa? Really, is that we struggle with these halachos? The dayanim themselves aren't such bekiyim in these halachos, and you're going to assume that a sofer would never write a shtar had it not been that all these halachos were followed. So sheilinu l'sifrei d'Abaye v'yadi l'sifrei d'Rava v'yadi. So they decided to do a test. They wanted to check out do the sofrim actually know these things. So they asked the sofrim of Abaye's basin, the sofrim of Rava's basin. The Abaye and Rava themselves struggled with this issue, and the sofrim knew. Yeah, this is their malacha. This is what they do. So when that's what a person does, so certainly he's going to be very well versed in those in what he's a bal malachin. Just at a chasana last night, and there was in one of the popular weddings. wedding halls. And there's a guy there that runs, you know, he works for the wedding hall. He runs the chasana. So is he a Talmud Chacham? I don't know if he's a Talmud Chacham. But in terms of stuff that happens at weddings, he catches things that other people can't catch. Because that's what he does. He does it all day, every day. That's he knows. That's his malacha. When that's someone's malacha, and they've seen it 1,000 times, and he knows what every hakpada, that every Masada Kiddushin has had. So he's very familiar. There was a shtarodisa that was written with the lashonos of a beisdin, that it was done as a duchron piskimi, means a zikaron dvarim, which is a lashon that dayanim write, that this was done in front of a beisdin, and we're writing this as a zikaron of how it was done in front of a beisdin. And it has all the lashonos of a beisdin. So this was supposed to be a shtar that was done by a beisdin. It's a maisa beisdin. The only problem was the law of a kasuba b'mos of tlasa havina v'chad l'sohi. The problem was there were only 2 people signed on it, and it didn't say, normally when there's a maisa beisdin, there are only 2, so you expect 3 people to be signed on it because that's a beisdin. There are only 2 people signed on it, so normally you would require them to write a special language that we were a mos of tlasa, just one of them is no longer here. Usually because one of them is deceased, meaning he passed away after the maisa happened, before they got around to writing up the document. So they didn't write that language that indicates that it was b'mos of tlasa, and just one of them is no longer here. So Sava Ravina Lemeimer, Hainu, the Reish Lakish. Ravina thought, good, this is another example of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said that you can assume everything was done properly. So here also you can assume everything was done properly. Amle Rav Nasa Marami, Hach Yamrim Shmei Derava, Kol Ki Agavna, Chayshin on the Beizin Tovin. No, we have to assume that Beizin maybe is making a mistake, and they thought that 2 people is a Kasher Beizin. That really there never were 3 Dayanim, there were only 2 Dayanim, and they were under the mistaken impression that that's good enough. Amr of Nachmar Yisrael, Ki Kasav Ba Beidina Sulo Tzarech. No, if it says Beisdin, everyone knows that 2 people is not a Beisdin. So that's all it needs to say. Once it says Beisdin, you know it was done properly and it was in fact done by a Beisdin. Frak the Gemara, really, is that true that whenever you say the words Beisdin, it automatically means 3 people? V'dilma Beisdin Chatzuf Hu. Maybe it was what we call a Beisdin Chatzuf. Da'amar Shmuel, Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din. After all, Shmuel says that if 2 people are Dana Din Torah as a Beisdin, the Din counts. El Shnikru Beisdin Chatzuf, but they're called a Beisdin Chatzuf. So maybe even though it says the word Beidina, maybe it meant Beidina, that's a Chatzuf. So the Kasabe Beidina de Ravana Ashi. No, they don't just write that it was a Beisdin.
So, once again, what's the problem if it's a Beidin Chatzuf? What's the problem? Is Dineim Din? Why do we care if there were 2 or 3? They were wrong.
So,
the dining were wrong, but what do we care?
So,
star is the star.
So, when they dan a din Torah, but to write a Maisa Beisdin, a star of a Maisa Beisdin, that you need 3. So the Kazbe Beidina de Ravana Ashi, they wrote the Beidina de Ravana Ashi. So since, and plus we don't pass next one. So since they write the Beidina de Ravana Ashi, that has to be Ravashi never would have, in Ravashi's Beisdin, there would have had to have been 3 Dayanim. But maybe the Rabban of Bei Ravashi held like Shmuel. No, it didn't just say the Beisdin of Ravashi. It says that Ravashi himself had instructed us this way. And Ravashi certainly didn't hold like Shmuel. Ravashi certainly held that you need 3 Dayanim. So that's how we know that it must have been with 3 Dayanim, because Eina Chinami, there are only 2 people signed on it, but they wrote that Rav Ashi had instructed them. Tan Rabbanan. Amrlan Echad. Some third party tells Yisomim, Aniri Isi Avichem, Shehitmin Ma'os Bishita Tevo Migdal. I saw that your father hid away money in a box somewhere, or in a closet somewhere. Va'amer, and when he hid it away, he said, Shel Ploni Hain, Shel Maiser Sheni Hain. He said that this money belongs to another person, or he said the money belongs is Maiser Sheni money, so you have to be careful how you spend it, only in Yerushalayim, on food. So the halach is as follows. Bibayis, if the secret hiding place of this money is in the house that the deceased person lived in and the Yisomim now have control of, so this outside party has no access to that money. He's informing you of money that only you have access to. Lo amar klum. You don't have to listen to him about who the money belongs to, because he has no control over that money. So there is no, uh, there, there is no migo that if he wanted, he could have just taken that money and given it himself to the correct party. But besada dvarav kayamin, if it was out in the field somewhere and he could have just as easily taken the money himself, so then we listen to him. Because malo l'shaker, if he wanted, he could have taken it and given it to the person that he claims it belongs to, which is a little bit difficult. That's true when it says it belongs to, when, if the case is they're saying it belongs to somebody else. But if they say it's maaser sheni, so it's it may be that they're saying you don't have full rights to the money, but they're still acknowledging that the Yisomim have are the ones who have the rights to spend the money in Yerushalayim on food for themselves. Meaning they certainly, whether you hold maaser sheni is mamon gavoa, whether you hold his mamon hedya, certainly if you hold his mamon hedya, but even if you hold his mamon gavoa, but it's their zuchus to be able to spend that money. But either way, kol shel davar, kol shel biyado litlan, davar of kayamin, ein biyado litlan, if ein biyado litlan, lo, lo amar klum. If they have the ability to get the money, to have access to the money, then we listen to them about the details of the money. But if they have no access to the money anyway, then lo amar klum. Or similarly, Haresha Roes Havien Shehitmin Malos Bishim Teva Megillah. It wasn't a stranger. The Yisom themselves saw their father putting away the money somewhere safe. Va'amar Shel Plonien Shel Maaser Sheni Ein. And they heard their father tell them that it belongs to so and so or it belongs to Maaser Sheni. Im Kimoser Dvarav Kayamin. They have to assess the tone that their father was saying it in. If it sounded like he was being serious and he was trying to tell them, listen, you're going to be responsible for this money one day, so I want you to know that this money belongs to Ploni, so then they have to listen to what the father said. But Im Kima'arim Lo Amar Klum. If his tone suggests that he was just trying to be ma'arim, he was trying to trick them, so that they wouldn't think that the father is so rich. Sometimes a wealthy parent doesn't want the kids to feel entitled. He doesn't want them to feel like they have all the money. So he says, no, it's not really my money. He's trying to be ma'arim, or he's afraid they're going to steal it, maybe, whatever the concern is. Then, lo amar klum, then they don't have to listen to the fact that he said that it belongs to somebody else. And the Sefer Mishmeres Kuna quotes from Radvaz that you can't say that a tainus mishata by Hegdish, that a gizbar of Hegdish who says kanisi bayizel the tzorach Hegdish is not allowed to be chozer and say that really he bought it for himself. And when he said he bought it for Hegdish, it was derech hashta'a. So he says the Knesset Hagdola asked from our sugya, the ma'os is not ma'aser sheni if the father is kima'arim. Isn't that similar to Hegdish? Is certainly if you hold momen gavoa. He says no, you have to say ma'aser sheni is different than Hegdish, because ma'aser sheni you still get to spend yourself. So if you're going to, it could be that one would pull a trick by using the term ma'aser sheni, although one would not do the same thing when talking about Hegdish. A third case, similar case. You know that your father left money somewhere, you forgot where it is. So you mitztayer, you've been thinking all day, where is the money that dad left? And so the person had a dream, and he was told in the dream, kach v'kachin, b'makom plonihin, it's X amount of money. You can find it in exactly this location. And by the way, shel maaser shenihin, the money happens to be maaser sheni money, so you don't have full access to it. You don't have full rights to do whatever you want with it. Zaya maisa v'amru, divrei chalomos l'man v'lo maridin. There was a maisa that happened just like this, and they said divrei chalomos l'malin v'lo maridin, that you don't pay attention to divrei chalomos. So there's a famous Shuvas HaTashbeitz in Chelik Beis in Kuf Chav Ches, where he says, you know, sometimes in the Gemara it sounds like dreams are everything, and sometimes it sounds like dreams are absolutely nothing. The Gemara in the Darm, Dav Chav Ches, says, Niduhu b'chalom, you need a heter l'niduyo, that if a person is put in cherim in his dream, he needs a heter, he needs be'asare, he needs 10 people together to be matir that nidui. They have to be shona halachos, they have to be qualified people to be matir the nidui, meaning we take it very seriously. So apparently we take that very seriously. Yet over here, Divrei Chalomos L'man V'lo Maridin. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Hei, quotes Stirim Psukim in Bamidbar Yudbeis, B'chalom Adaber Bo. Sounds like it's a form of Nevuah. In Zechariah, V'chalomos Hashav Yedabru. That Chalomos speak only nothingness, that it's emptiness. Sounds like you don't have to worry about dreams at all. So the Gemara in Brachos says that it depends how the dream comes. If it's Al Yedei Malach, it's a form of Nevuah. If it's Al Yedei shade, then it's shav, then it's nothingness. How do you know? How do you know who's delivering your dream, whether it's a malach or a shade? What the Tashbetz ultimately writes is that it's a suffix, that whenever you have a dream, it's a suffix whether it's something serious or not something serious. So how do you deal with the case of suffix? So most of the time, the way he seems to imply is that al pi rov, it's nothing. Every once in a while, you have a dream that's something. So it's a rove that it's nothing, but a little bit of a possibility that it's a something. So when niduhu b'chaloma nidoy is a curse that a person should die. Ultimately, that's what a nidoy really. When you get to the core of it, that's what it's about. There happen to be other ramifications as well. So that's pikuach nefesh. So by ein holchem pikuach nefesh zachar rove, and you have to be choshesh even for a miut. So that's why you better be matir the nidoy. But about other issues, about whether the money is Meitzer Sheni money or not, so that may be not as much. Others suggest no. In our Gemara, we're talking about he was Mitzta'er al Moshe Nichla Avosav. He was thinking about it all day. Certainly, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that a person dreams about things that he's thinking about during the day, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's any form of Nevuah. It's something the guy was already thinking about. So good. So then you could assume that some of what he was thinking about may have been latent memories about the location of the money, the amount of the money, and others may. Other details may have been shav, it may have been absolutely nothing in the dream. There's also a famous Shuvas Nadi Yehuda, where the Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Rishonim, had a dream about a fish called the Barbuta fish, where he thought that he initially paskin that the fish was kosher, and then he had a dream that while he was that he was being served up in Shemayim a delicious meal, and they were serving him like nevelos and trefus, and he said, I can't eat that, I'm kosher. So they said, no, it's no different than the fish that you were matir, it's the same thing. So he woke up and he was stunned and he changed his mind and he said, no, the fish is not a kosher fish. So Nadibita says, nah, you don't pay attention to such dreams. He said, and what if what they would have served him would have been something, it would have been something that everyone knows is kosher, that it's 100% kosher, that he never had a suffix about. So he would have woken up and he said, silly dream. It was only because he was masupik about it that he was listening to that he was sensitive to his thoughts in the first place. Otherwise, a dream is not going to change your mind on a matter of halacha. So the Rebbe was not impressed by the idea that a dream is going to make a difference. Rav Avadi Yosef, in the first in the Hakdamah to the second chelik of Taras Habayis, the Sefer Hilchos Nida, says that at some point in his life he wasn't sure if he should get involved in politics. He was so busy with his learning and his writing, and he said that he had a dream that the Ben Ish Chai came into his apartment in Harnof and takes off Yabia Omer from the shelf and starts flipping through the Yabia Omer and says, ooh, nice job. And Rav Avadi says, thank you very much. And he says, I'm struggling. I don't know if I should continue to focus totally on my writing or I should be involved in communal issues as well. And the Ben Ish Chai told him, you have time for both. You should be able to be Masliach and have time for both. So he said, so that's what I did. I had time for both. Okay, so Shnayim Omrim Zakai. So two people said Zakai. The Mishnah had said, if two people said Zakai, one person says Chayiv, so the halacha is you follow Zakai. But how do you write it? Michtav Hechi Kasvi. How does the Beis Din write up the Psak Din? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai. Rabbi Yochanan says simply, they write the Beis Din said Zakai. Reish Lakish Amar Ploni Ploni Mezakin, that they spell out who is Mezakai, who is Mechayiv, or Ploni Mechayiv. Meaning you say which Dayanim voted which way, which is against the end of the Mishnah Lachar, because the end of the Mishnah says you're not allowed to reveal who voted which way. We'll see, the Gemara will discuss. What you have to say is not that the entire Beis Din Paskin Zakai, because that's not true. What you say is me Devrayan, from the discussions of Beis Din, what emerged is Nizdaka Ploni, that Ploni was Zakai. My Benayu, what exactly are they arguing about? So Ikabenayu Lishlume Ihu Mansabadayu. The machlokas really is, what if the Beis Din had made a mistake and they have to pay for their mistake? So does the guy who voted correctly but was outvoted, does he also have to pay for the mistake? Dilamandi Amar Zakai Mishalim. The one that says Zakai, he has to the one who says that the Beis Din just issues a statement of Zakai, so the guy, even the guy who voted correctly, has to pay, because the entire Beis Din shoulders the burden of that psak, even the guy who didn't vote that way. But the shita that says that they identify who passed in which way, the reason they're identifying who passed in which way is that the person who voted correctly, even though he was initially outvoted, should not have to be responsible for it. Wait, if you say that they just say the Beis Din was mezakeh, the guy who voted correctly should have to pay? Why can't he say to the other dayanim, why should I have to pay for this? If you would have listened to me in the first place, you guys wouldn't be stuck in this predicament. You wouldn't be having to pay either. So I'm going to have to pay for your mistake. I tried to warn you. I tried to tell you it wasn't going to work out. No, the real machlokas is certainly the guy who voted correctly is off the hook. He doesn't have to pay anything. Question is, let's say it was $99 that were involved, and there were three dayanim. Two of them voted chayiv, one of them voted zakai. So the one who voted zakai was correct. Now the other two are going to have to pay back. Do they pay back $66 each of their portion of the 99, or do they have to split the $99 between them? Do they have to split the full amount between them because they ultimately were the cause of the din coming out that way? So the madi amar zakai mishalmi, the one that says that they just issued the statement of zakai, the Beis Din shoulders the full burden of the full $99. But if you say that we identify who said what, so each one only shoulders their chelek of the Beis Din, but they, so each one will only, each of the two day will only have to pay 33, and the last 33 won't get paid back. Says Mishalmi. Wait, they're going to have to pay back the amount of the that corresponds to the third dayan. Why can't they say to the third dayan, look, if you weren't here, our din wouldn't have meant anything because we would have only been two dayanim. Again, we don't pass on like Shmuel, so it wouldn't have done anything. So it was only your presence that allowed for the din to be nigmar. No, what we have to say is what they're really arguing about is, can we reveal who paskind what? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai Mishum Lo Selech Rachel. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to say it in very parv language, that the Beis Din paskind Zakai, because we can't identify who said what. Reish Lakish Amar Ploni Ploni Mizakai Ploni Ploni Mechayvin Mishum Demechzi Keshikra. No, you have to identify who said what. We're sensitive to Lo Selech Rachel, we understand that, but you have to identify who said what, because otherwise it's going to be Mechzi Keshikra, meaning it's not true that they all said the same thing. One of them got it right the first time, and we can't say something that looks like a lie. Rav Lazar Islay Demar Vislay Demar. Rav Lazar tries to be sensitive to both of those tainas. We don't want something that's Mechzi Keshikra, but we also don't want to identify who voted what. So that's why he came up with a compromise. Hilchos Kasviachi Midivreim Nizdaka Ploni. That's why he came up with such a formulation that from all the discussions in the Beis Din, it came out that Nizdaka Ploni, and that's the way he solved all of the issues. That's how he arrived at a conclusion. Gamrus Hadavar Hayumachnisan. So then we said, once they have a Gemar Din, they would bring the people back in. Who are the people? So the man, which people did they bring back in, and what were they doing outside in the first place? Ilema the Balei Din, and if you're talking about the Balei Din themselves, Hasam Kaimi, the Balei Din were there the whole time. Now, Ela Ala Edim, it must be that the Edim were not all there, and they're bringing the Edim back in at the Gemar Din. So Gemar, Keman, who is this assuming like that the Edom were not all there? Delok Rabbi Nassim, this must be against Rabbi Nassim. Titania Leolam Enedus Mitzravis Achir Shneim Ke'echad, that, and this Brisa is going to mention two machlokos, and they're going to be the focus of the rest of the daf, these two machlokos. So the Brisa tells us, Edus cannot be Mitzarev, the Edus of two Edom cannot combine with each other unless they both saw the Maisa together. Whereas Rabbi Shubin Karcha Omer Afil B'zeh Acharzeh, that even if they didn't see it together, one guy says, I saw that Reuven admitted that he owes Shimon $100 on Monday, the other one says Tuesday, they could still be Mitzarev, according to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Another issue, Ve'en Edus and Miskayamis Bebezin Achi Idu Shnein Ke'echad, that the Tanakhama says they have to testify together in order for their edus to mean something. They don't have to testify together. One guy today, the next guy tomorrow, and that's perfectly fine as well, says Rabbi Nassim. So don't you see see our Mishnahs against Rabbi Nassan, because our Mishnah sounds like we bring them in because they have to be together. And Rabbi Nassan says, nah, they don't have to be together. We can have them different days even. So says Gemara, lo. No, our Mishnah is not necessarily against Rabbi Nassan. Maybe our Mishnah is not talking about bringing the Edom in at all. It's talking about bringing the Balei Din in. Rabbi Nechemiah, and our Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi Nechemiah, the Tanya, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, the minhag of the Nekiyah Dash of Yerushalayim, of the wonderful Dayanim in Yerushalayim, was as follows. They would bring the Balei Din in, they would hear the Tainas, what each Balei Din claims. Then they would bring in the Edim and they would listen to the Edus. Umotzin Osan Lachutz. They would then send the Balei Din out. And they would discuss the case, not in the presence of the Balei Din. And then, when Gamras Hadavar, Machnis Nosan, then when they would when they finished their own internal discussions, they would bring the Balei Din back in. So that's what our Mishnah was talking about. Machnis Nosan is not about the Edim, it's about the Balei Din. V'atanya Gamras Hadavar Machnis Nes HaEdim. Aye, but we have a brisa that elaborates on our Mishnah, and it says explicitly, Machnis Nes HaEdim, Hayi D'lo Rabbi Nassan. Okay, that brisa has to be against Rabbi Nassan, but our Mishnah doesn't necessarily. They have to be against Rabbi Nassan. Our Mishnah never says Machnis Nesa Edim. That Brisa says Machnis Nesa Edim, that we need the Edim to be together in Beis Din. So now let's go back to discuss that. Gufa, the first Machlokas.
But they're bringing them back in again, according to this one opinion. They were already together when they gave their Edut, right?
So, not necessarily. No, I think they're bringing them in to...
This is the first time they're coming
to say the Eidus, meaning you already had the tightness of the Balei Din. Now you bring in Machnis and Nesa Edim so that they could be together in their Eidus, because if they... right. So says Gufa, Liolam ein edus mitzarefes ad shiru shneim ke'echad. Rabbi Shuben Korcho amar afilu b'zeh achar zeh. So the initial machlokas was, do they have to see the edus together? Forget about the Haggadah's edus, that was the second machlokas. Do they have to see the edus together? So Rabbi Shuben Korcho says, nah, even zeh achar zeh is fine. So b'maikam ifri, what is the nekudas machlokas over here? What are they arguing about? So iba yisei makrav, iba yisei masvara. They might be arguing about how to learn a pasuk, or they might just be arguing in svara. Iba yisei masvara. We start with the svara first. Amana de kamaset hai, lo kamaset hai. Amana de kamaset hai, lo kamaset hai. That there's a svara to say that they need to be together. Tanakam holds they need to be together because if one of them is testifying that he admitted to a certain money on Monday and the other one on Tuesday, they might not be testifying about the same thing. So you don't have to weigh them on the same money. V'idach amana biyama travayu kamasadi. They're both being made. That he owes them $100. $100 is $100. Doesn't make a difference which $100 it is. V'ibay say makra, or maybe they're actually arguing about how to learn a pasuk. T'chsiv, v'hu eid o ra'a o yada. V'tanya, and the Brisa elaborates on the word aid. We say that he's an aid. What does aid mean? In general, I would have assumed that whenever it says the word aid, it means one aid, because it's singular. Matam lomer echad, so why is it that the Torah singles out aid echad, that it says lo yakum aid echad beish, it should say lo yakum aid beish, and I would know that it means aid echad. Oh no, zeh b'nei av, it's teaching me that that this is a binyan av to learn to kol haTorah kula, kol makom shnemar aid harekad shnayim ad sheyiparit lecha akasav echad, that typically speaking, whenever the Torah uses the word aid, it always means shnei aidim, unless the Torah says aid echad. Then we know it only means one aid. V'afkei rachmana b'lashon chad, l'meimer adu chazu tarvayu kichad. So why then does it say the word, why would the Torah do that though? Meaning the word aid in Hebrew is singular. So why would the Torah use the word aid to describe two aidim? Because it's telling me that the two Edim, in a certain sense, have to be like one. How are they like one? That they have to see the Maisa together. So that's the Svara of the Tanakhama. The Idach and Rabbi Shubin and Karcha would respond, V'u Eid O Ra'ah O Yada, Mikal Makom, that the Pasuk says in a more elaborate way, O Ra'ah O Yada, that not, however they were Ra'ah or Yodeya, that we have a Riboy in the Pasuk that tells me that they don't have to see it together. He's going to have to deal with separately, and I'm sure the Rishonim discussed they didn't have a chance to look around, why the Torah does that? Why does the Torah use the word aid in a singular lashon as opposed to in a plural? Okay. Ve'inei du some scams of beis nachi yidu shneim kecher minasam shomad dvarav shalzei ayom k'shevach chaver l'machar shomad dvarav. Then we have the second machlokas. Do they have to be made together? So b'maykamifli, what's that machlokas about? Again, ibay seim esvara, ibay seim akra, ibay seim esvara mar saver aid echad kiasi l'shvua asi l'mana lo asi. If one aid comes to Bezin, he never dreams that Bezin is going to be motzi mamon based on his testimony, because one aid is only strong enough to be mechayev a shavua. So he can't, his aidos can't combine with someone else's aidos. He was only coming to be mechayev a shavua. V'idach adu kiyasu b'adi adadi b'chad puma kamasadi. What, even if two people come together, they're not testifying out of the same mouth, meaning they're not saying something mamish exactly at the same time. Elamit sarfinin lahu. Obviously, we're mitzari for aidos. So chenami litzrafinu. So we are also be mitzari for aidos. V'ibay say makra, or they might be arguing about how to read the pasuk. Im lo yagid v'nasa avono. That the pasuk says if he doesn't say his edus, so he's gonna be guilty for withholding edus. Udkuli alma kerabban de pligi le Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. And maybe everyone in this machlokas about whether they have to say the edus together holds like the rabbanan against Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, that they definitely had to see the edus together. V'achaba kushe hagad v'leriya kamiflegi. And what they're really arguing about is, does the Haggadah have to match the Re'iyah? The Re'iyah had to be together. We're assuming like the Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon Karcha. The Re'iyah had to be at the same time. So Mar Sover Makshin and Haggadah the Re'iyah. So Tanakhama says, yeah, just like they had to see the Eidos together, they also have to offer the Eidos together. Mar Sover Lo Makshinan. That we don't make a hakish between Haggadah and Re'iyah. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim have Mishtaka Leid Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina Lemismachay V'lo Kamisei Milsa. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim very much wanted that Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina should get smicha, but he couldn't arrange for it, for Rabbi Yosef to get smicha. Yom echad of Yosef kameid Rabbi Yochanan. One day they were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan and learning. Amaluhu miika diyada alach Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha lo. So Rabbi Yochanan happened to raise our issue. Do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha? Does the edus need to be seen together by Shnei Edim? Or do we pass on Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha that no, they don't have to see it together? Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, Dein Yada. So Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim, who's trying to get Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina smicha, points Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina and says, that guy knows! He knows the answer to this question. So Amr Lema Ezo? Okay, so why don't you tell me? Amr Lismachay Mar Beresha. We're holding you hostage. You have to give him smicha first, and then he'll share the secret with you. So Samchay, okay, the Torah is worth it. I need to find out this information. He gave him smicha. Amrle bni, amrle ketsa shamata. Tell me what sort of tradition do you have that I don't have? Meaning this wasn't something a matter of svara, this was a matter of tradition. So amrle kach shamati, shemod Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha l'Rabbi Nasan. He says, I heard that Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha is molded to the shita of Rabbi Nasan. That just like that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't require ri'iyah together, he also will be molded to Rabbi Nasan, that you don't require haggadah together. So amrle zehu. Why, you needed to tell me that? Obviously, Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, he doesn't even require that they see the Eidos together. He's not going to require that they say the Eidos together. That wasn't my question. My question was, can you say the other way? Does Rabbi Nasan agree to Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha? Meaning, if you don't have to say the Eidos together, does that automatically mean you don't have to see the Eidos together? Meaning, we pass them like Rabbi Nasan. So what he was trying to say is, since we pass them like Rabbi Nasan, and Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha holds like Rabbi Nasan, it must be we hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha as well. No, that's flawed. That's flawed logic. We pass like Rabbi Nasan. I wonder, does Rabbi Nasan hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha? So I'm like, hol velisa lo terid. But once I gave you smicha, I can't take away your smicha. I can't revoke your smicha. So that a chasna last night, Rav David Willick told me, he saw minchas chinuch that says that if a chacham forgets his learning, that he loses his smicha. His smicha becomes batal, and in nafkamina, you don't violate Elohim lo sekalel for cursing a musmach. So Meir Tversky was at the table. He couldn't believe it. He said, it sounds like it's against this gemara. Once you're ola, lo terid. Even if it was unauthorized, even if it didn't say he didn't really deserve it. Lo teirid, why should shivri lucha sheba aron, still in the aron, the Talmud Chacham Shachach Talmudo still gets all the respect. Okay, Amar Abizera, Shema Mino Gavar Rabba, Kivin the Samach Samach. You see from here, a Gavar Rabba, once he gets smicha, the smicha stays. Amar Abchir Barav and Amarav, Halach Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Bein B'Karkos, Bein B'Metaltlin. We pass Rabbi Shua ben Karcha both by Karka and by Metaltlin, the Eidos does not have to be issued together. Ula Amar Halach Rabbi Shua ben ben karka ben karkaos, avalo ben metaltlin. Only by karka where we know it's about the same karka, because the karka is identified by location, but not about metaltlin, where they might be being made about totally different things. Amalei abaye halacha mechlal de pligi. The fact that you say we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Karka when it comes to karka makes it sound like there's someone that disagrees with him when it comes to karka. Ivam Rabbi Abba Ravuna Marav Modum Chamler Rabbi Shimon Karka beedus karka. Even the Chacham are modu when it comes to edus karka that you could be mitzdari of edus from different days. V'tani Ravidi Baravin benizakin debe karna in the brisos of nezikin that were taught by karna modum chamler Rabbi Shimon Karka beedus bechor. Ooh, be'edus karka. The chamar modet Rabbi Shimon ben Karka. Not only be'edus b'chor, but be'edus karka. Ooh, be'edus chazaka, and be'edus of cheskas kimul shanim. V'chein shebeben v'shabbas, and the edus of a young boy or a young girl reaching godless. So he said, okay, gavra gavakaram. So you're asking a stira in how different people presented the machlokas. Marsav repligi, marsav lo pligi. It was a machlokas amarayim. Whether they argued about karka as well. So that's not a kasha. My v'chein shebeben v'shabbas. What do we mean that you're going to have two separate eduyos about whether a ben or a bas has become a gadol? So one of them is saying, I saw one hair over here. Another one is saying, I saw another hair over there. Neither of them are being meyud that the person is a gadol, because seir echad is not godless. So ella echad omer shtayim begava vechad omer shtayim bekresa. No, both of them are saying that the person is a gadol, but one of them is saying that the shtei saros were in one part of the body, the other one saying they're in a different part of the body, so they weren't being made about the same shtei saros. We pass like Rabbi Shimon Karka both by karka and metaltlin. For Rabbanu Dasam Mechuza Amri, Amr Rabbi Zeir Mishmei Durav, but karkaos in avolob metaltlin. Only by karka we pass like Rabbi Shimon Karka, but not by metaltlin. Rav Tamei, Damer Rav, Hoda'a Achar Hoda'a. If a guy admitted on Monday that he owes the money, and then he admitted, and then another aide says he admitted on Tuesday, or Hoda'a Achar Alva. On Monday, one aide says he saw the loan. On Tuesday, the other aide says he saw that he was Moda mitstarfi. Those edim can be mitstarif, but halva'a achar halva'a or halva'a achar hoda'a lo mitstarfi. But if one said he saw a halva'a on Monday, the other one said he saw a halva'a on Tuesday, or one of them saw the halva'a, one of them saw a hoda'a on Monday, I admitted to it on Monday, the other one saw a loan happen the following day on Tuesday, then they're not mitstarif, because they're clearly not talking about the same thing. So B'ezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the discussion of why those last four halachos are true about Hoda'a achar hoda'a and hoda'a achar halva'a. Oh, yeah.